So turn with me to Leviticus chapter 24. And we continue to look at the tabernacle. We're coming to part of the furniture today, the table of showbread. And this is really, although I've been ministering here for a very long time, my first real serious excursion into Leviticus. But because God blessed me personally so much studying this theme earlier in the year, I want to share some of it with you. So Leviticus 24 and verse 5 says, "Take fine flour and bake 12 loaves of bread using 2/10 of an ephah," remember that's 7.5 pints, "of fine flour for each loaf. Set them in 2 rows, 6 in a row, on the table of pure gold before the Lord." Well, have you ever received a gift which insulted you? It just wasn't appropriate. It wasn't the right gift for the occasion. It was perhaps something unwanted, someone's hand-me-down. Perhaps it was dirty. Perhaps it was broken. And someone patronized you, perhaps, by giving it to you. I remember when I was a wee boy, one of my uncles in Gearloch had a neighbour who was very patronising towards him. And on one occasion this neighbour thought he was giving my uncle a great favour by giving him an old shaving stick, a razor. And my uncle said, after the neighbour had given it to me, he said, "The thing was so dirty I just threw it on the shore," he said, which is where you threw everything in those days. "I just threw it on the shore." He was insulted by this gift. What about our gifts in God's eyes? As we've seen with the children, He daily showers us with gifts. He gives us all that we need for life and all that we need for eternal life. And are our gifts to Him a reflection of the magnitude and richness, generosity and loving kindness of His gifts to us? Your offering today, I don't just mean the money that you give, I mean generally also your praise and your prayers and the time that you give, as the children reflected on these things. Is it an appropriate response to the greatness of what God has given you today? Let's think about that by using the tabernacle as an illustration. And remember, we've already seen the tabernacle is just a great big visual aid. That's what it is. It's there to teach Israel and to teach us about what it means to come to God, about how we can have God in our midst. God in the midst of the camp of Israel, or God in our midst as we worship Him today. About what's actually involved for human beings, sinful human beings, to come and know God's presence in their lives. What actually has to happen in order for that to take place. So really the tabernacle, more than anything, is about the work of Jesus Christ. It's about what He has done for us. If you were an Israelite, you would think, this tabernacle is what it takes for us to have God living in our midst. All the service of the priests, all the sacrifices, all the special ministries that they undertake, they're necessary for us to have God's indwelling in the camp. But now, of course, we don't have a tabernacle, no temple. All of that procedure is gone. And what is involved in us coming to God is invisible to us. We don't see it. Because the tabernacle is pointing to the work of Jesus, which is history now. It's set in history. It's taken place. All that Jesus did through His life and His death and His resurrection. And today, in His intercession for us and His praying for us, we don't see any of that. We don't actually see it. So for us to remember what Jesus has done, and to help us to think about that, the tabernacle is a good place to go. It's a good place to help us reflect on all that is necessary and all that Jesus has done to make it possible for us to be in fellowship with God this morning. So we come to the table of showbread. Remember, the tabernacle has an outer courtyard and an inner tent. The inner tent is 45 feet long. The first 30 feet of the 45 feet are taken up by the holy place, in which are three articles: the lampstand, hopefully we'll look at that next week, the altar of incense, we looked at last week, and the table of the showbread. And then the last 15 feet, it's 15 feet wide as well, so a square room at the back, is the most holy place, where the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat, the cherubim, the presence of God are. So God is there in that hidden room. But we're looking outside of the next room, separated from that hidden room by a curtain. We're looking at the table of showbread. It's a golden table. We've already seen there's a table for the incense censer. This is another table. This table is laden with bread. As we read in verse 5 and verse 6, there are two rows or two piles, depending on the translation, two rows of probably flat breads. They're not leavened bread, probably. We're not actually sure about that. And they're big loaves, because 7.5 pints is a lot of flour to make a loaf of bread with. So there's 12 loaves, and they're there on that 3 foot long by 1.5 foot wide golden table before God, as it says. That's what it says in the end of verse 6, before God. Now, bread. Remember, there's symbolism in everything in the tabernacle. What's bread about? Well, bread is usually, in the Bible, a symbol of life, because bread is a staple. It's essential for life. Give us this day our daily bread. And Israel had a particular illustration of God's provision of bread through the manna, day by day in the wilderness, the daily manna that God showered outside the camp for them to go and collect. So, for us in the Lord's Supper, we think of the bread that we take in the Lord's Supper as a symbol of life and what it takes to give us life. The death of Jesus, the giving of his body for us. So we'll be remembering that in a few minutes. Praise God, we remember what Jesus did for us in giving his body in his death for us. So bread is usually a symbol of life. But not here. Not here. Because it's not about God giving us something. It's not about God giving us, like the supper is about God giving us his son. And we remember that body that was broken for us in the bread. This is about us giving to God. We read in Exodus 25, it's called the bread of the presence. So it's about bread that's put into the presence of God. Again, in Exodus 25, it is to be before God at all times. And here in Leviticus 24, verse 6, it is before the Lord. And again, the same in verse 8, it is set out before the Lord. And then Leviticus 24, verse 7, it's an offering made to the Lord by fire. And again, at the end, verse 9, it's an offering made to the Lord by fire. So, this is about something that people put into God's presence. They're making it for them to offer to God. 12 loaves, one loaf for each of the 12 tribes of Israel, or indeed one loaf for each of the 12 apostles of the church, is a representation of the church giving something before God, an offering to God. Now, of course, the priests, as we read, they do eat the bread every week. On the Sabbath, when it's replaced with fresh loaves, they take the old loaves and they eat them. And that's part of the provision for the priest's nutrition. But that's a secondary thing. They eat it just because it's holy bread and it's not appropriate for it to go out into the camp to be eaten. But the main point is this. It's for God. It's an offering to God. And to illustrate that, verse 7 says, incense is put beside the bread, probably in a golden bowl put beside the bread. And verse 7 says, it represents the bread. The incense represents the bread. And then what happens is that the incense is put on the incense altar, onto the incense altar, on the Sabbath day, when the bread's changed, and it's burned before God. And fresh bread is put in its place, and fresh incense. So the incense, remember, last week represents offering as well. The offering of prayer, of devotion to God. So again, the incense representing the bread is representing the offering and devotion of Israel to God. And the incense is burned on the altar. So the bread is made with fine flour, it says, verse 5. It's made with the best of flour. And it's these 12 large loaves. Precious commodity, this fine flour, especially in the desert when it would have to be traded for. And then when they moved into Canaan, it was the fruit of their labor. And it's baked for this holy purpose. So the bread is an offering before God. It's a symbol of the offerings of Israel to God. That's the language. That's how Leviticus describes it here in Exodus 25. You might think it's about the bread of life and Jesus, but that's not what it actually says here. It's about Israel offering to God. It's about their offering to God. It's their labors to make this harvest, to provide the fine flour, to make the bread, to put it in God's presence. It's about them giving to God. So as Israel does this, they're saying, Lord, receive my devotion. Receive the works of my hands. Let me ask a question now of ourselves. What bread are we placing in God's presence today? On this, the Christian Sabbath, what fresh bread are we laying before God this morning? What labors do we bring to fruition and offer to God today? What's on the table today from you for God? Is what you are offering God today made with, as it were, the finest flour? Is it your very best? Is it like the bread, the show bread in the tabernacle, a large and generous pile of plenty? Our offering to God is a very important subject in the Bible. Just even if you just look at the word offering, it occurs 800 times in the Bible, more than 800 times. It's a huge theme in the Bible, offering. And we are, as Christians, people who are to offer spiritual sacrifices to God. Jesus said, this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, that we bring fruit to God today. Paul says in Romans 12, in view of what God has done for us, in view of God's mercy, we are to offer our bodies as living sacrifices to God. Christians are people who offer to God. They offer themselves and what they have to God. And the tabernacle, with its table of holy showbread, is a picture of how we approach God with our offerings. Our offerings matter. Of course, the tabernacle, the bigger picture, is about Jesus, and we've already seen that, and we'll see a lot more of that. But it also tells us in the bread and the incense altar, and indeed we'll see the lampstand as well, they all tell us that what we give to God is important as well. So our bread, our labor, our service, God's looking for it. It's not because he needs it, just like God doesn't need bread. But it's about what we give to him. and what's in our hearts towards Him. Our level of devotion, our love, our commitment. What do you give to God? What's on the table this morning from you to God? What's there? It was much more difficult for you and the children to think about what you'd given to God this morning than to think about what He's given to you, wasn't it? So what is on the table? And is it a fitting response to what God has done for you? Is it a fitting response? How do we actually view our offerings? Let's imagine the table of our offerings to God. If we're honest, is it a wee bit like a bottle stall at the local sale, the local jumble sale, or is it like a jumble sale table? You know the bottle stalls. Everyone puts the bottles in the bottle stalls that they don't want. And maybe one or two bottles that are really decent prizes, but most of them are old bottles of shampoo or old bottles of wine that are been in any number of bottle stalls and no one wants them. And the same in the jumble sale, you know, it's 99% junk that no one wants. Maybe 1% is of some decent stuff. It's a table of offering. Is that like our table of offering to God? I mean, let's be honest. Does God get the second-hand stuff? Occasionally does He get something good, but does He get a lot of kind of offcuts of our time and our energy? And we actually have far more attention and energy to give to other things than to Him. That's a challenge. If everything we offer to God was placed on the table, would it be like a jumble sale table? Or would it be like the table of showbread, with the finest of flour and the very best of loaves baked for God? What would it be like? Are our offerings like that old razor, an insult, but this time an insult to God, because they just do not in any way represent an adequate response, an honouring response to all His generosity to us? When we think about our offerings, are we actually ashamed of them? At this point, we need to remember there is another offering. There is another offering that's been made by mankind, another offering that's come out of Israel. And it's an offering that does honour God, and it's an offering that is an adequate response to the munificence and generosity of God. An offering that of which God is truly worthy. And I'm speaking, of course, of the offering of Jesus. The offering made by Jesus. That's an offering that is worthy of God's presence. Hebrews chapter 10 says, when this priest, Jesus, had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. That's how good his offering was. It's an offering that bears scrutiny in the very presence of God, an offering that is worthy of the presence of God, of the holy place of God's presence, the offering of Jesus. Now, throughout the world, man is constantly depending on his own offerings to God. That's what world religions are about, generally. Man-made religion. I mentioned that in prayer about Japan, and its Buddhism and its Shintoism. And you look throughout the world and you look at Islam and you look at Hinduism and you look at all the different offshoots of genuine Christianity as well, so many cults and so. It's all about man offering to God, and people depend on their offerings and they depend on what they offer to God. We must not be like that this morning. Our offerings to God are a jumble sale table at the very best. We're here because we want to depend on God's provision for us, Jesus. His offering to God. That's the finest of flour. That's the best bread, it's the bread of life. We depend on God's provision in Jesus. The offering that really does meet our need. The offering that really is worthy to be brought into the holy place of God's presence there in the tabernacle. The offering of Jesus Christ that is worthy to be presented to God on our behalf. Let's not depend on our jumble sale stall of offerings. Let's depend today completely on Jesus. Let's repent if in any way we come today and think, won't God be pleased with me and what I'm giving to him today? Well, no. It's not good enough. It's what Jesus has done that is good enough. We're not sitting at the Lord's table in a minute to remember what we've offered God. We're sitting at the Lord's table to remember what Jesus has offered God for us. That's our glory in the Christian church, that we have the truth. We have the truth that man's offerings to God are just like that old bottle stall of bottles that no one really wants to win. God is insulted when we try to make a response to all his gifts to us with our offerings, as though that's enough. He has provided an offering for us to bring. That offering is Jesus. Bring that offering today to God. Do not try to bring your own offerings as though they are going to represent an adequate response, a God-honoring response. And give more yourself. Not because you're trying to pay for what God's done for you. Not because you're trying to earn salvation or a place in heaven. But because he's worthy. He's worthy of the finest flour. He's worthy of the best that you can bake. The greatest of your labors. So bring that to God. But don't depend on it. Depend on what Jesus has done. That's the offering that we need to make before God this morning. Amen.